What's up, everyone? This is Josh Collins, half of the Finish Works Brand Podcast, Milk versus Solid Food. I'm asking for some mercy and some grace on the first segment of this episode because we actually recorded it again and we end up still having some audio issues, as you'll hear in the first 10 minutes or so. But just keep on listening. Everything will get smoother as you listen because we actually was able to fix it during the podcast. So tune in. There's some good gems in here, and we hope you're encouraged. God bless you, and we'll see you on the next episode. Peace. Good evening again. What's up, everybody? This is Josh from the Finish Works Brand Podcast, Milk versus Solid Food. I got my main man, Courtney, and his wonderful, beautiful wife, Desiree Douglas. How are y'all two?
Man, we doing good.
Yeah, we're good.
Ooh, we got Desiree on the phone. Later. So you get payback, Courtney. But got I got you. Some questions, man. Gave me a little structure. I do want to know how was your Thanksgiving with your family, because y'all had about 1,000 people in there. It looked like it was lit, though.
Yeah, it was, man. You want to go ahead and elaborate on that, back?
Yeah, we ended up having a total. It was 31 of us in this trip. It's 31.
Yeah.
We was hot, literally.
Like, literally.
Yeah, man. Hey, Desiree turned the – no, was it Yossi that turned the air off?
Yeah, my – No, my
for real.
We opened the windows. We had the fans blowing. It was just too many of us up in there.
Right. Man, it felt like it was like 90.
Yeah, I gotta get a. Yeah, I gotta get a crib. A bigger one.
Yeah, man. Because hey, because we have a house, man. It's not really like a duplex, man. It's like a separate. It's like a separate crib. You know what I mean? And we didn't think that it would hold that. Like, I thought it was 20. Like, I was like, there's 20 people in there. But Desiree said, nah, 31 people. I was like, goodness, man.
That's incredible.
And that was our first time hosting Thanksgiving, man. You know, her and I, man, as a family and having our family up, man. So that was real major, man. And I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, it was real nice.
How is that? Was that hard, like, hosting that many people?
No, because they actually helped out. A lot of my aunties and everything, they were, like, helping set the table. My grandmother made all the food. She made all the food, so they just packed it up. So all we had to do was warm it up. We put the tables. They brought extra tables. We put out the chairs. And then we had, you know, we had Cree pray. We told Cree to do the prayer.
Yeah, that's my that's our son, our little son. I mean, they are twins, a twin.
Yeah,
that was twin A.
One of the twins. Okay, twin A.
So after that's he funny. Did bless the food, we went and smashed, and everybody spread out. So it was like most of the men were in the living room because Courtney had like the game on, and then like the females and the kids were in the kitchen eating. And then after that, we just played games and just cracking jokes.
Real solid time, man.
Wow, man. That's all. Yeah, that's definitely one for the books, it sounds like, man. Wow. So, speaking about family, y'all were married, right? Okay. And I'm going to ask questions that I already know, but it's for the listener. So, you know, I want y'all to think I'm just being stupid here, okay? But being married, how has it always been easy peasy with each other's families? You know what I mean? As you integrate.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. In the beginning, when you first meet people, of course, everybody's got I call it their telephone voice. You know, you call, you got to call business or whatever. Everybody's got that on. But when you start, like after that dies down, then it's like, okay, then you get to see the real individual, and it's like, okay, I ain't gotta have this telephone voice on no more, so I ain't gotta do this, or I ain't gotta say this, or I can just be me, how I am all the time. So it was a little hard for me around, you know, certain of his family members, but eventually it
for sure.
It kind of like, now that I know them, like I know what to expect or what not to expect, and so it's kind of like it's kind of leveled out now.
Yeah, it didn't
for sure. So is that a maturity thing on your behalf, Desiree, or is that, you know, just every all parties just coming together and just hashing it out and working this thing out so it can be smooth later on?
Hold on, I didn't hear that. It broke up on me.
Okay, I said, is that a maturity thing on your behalf, or is that just everyone, you know, maturing and coming together and just hashing it out and making this thing as smooth as possible for the whole,
yeah, I think with,
you know, the whole shebang?
It being like, we had to eventually communicate. And then on top of that, I think also what maybe some of his family members thought when they first met me, that I wasn't going to be somebody he was going to be with for a long time. So here it is, you know, 7 years.
How long has it been?
It's been 7 years since we've been married.
Goodness gracious, man. Y'all almost at that dime, that 10.
Yeah. Yeah. That 10. So I've been, you know, we met back in 2009. So we've been together since 2009. So, yeah, and I'm still here. Mm. We know mm-hmm. we have the children, so.
I like that. I'm still here.
You're right.
What about you, Courtney? How was that? How was there some friction in the family and your newly, you know, married wife at the time?
You said, how did I deal with it? You kind of cracked up at the beginning of the question.
Okay, my bad. I said, how did you deal with that? And how was, you know, yeah, how did you deal with that? With a new wife and you got your family, you know, what side did you take? You know what I mean? You have that pressure at the beginning stages of marriage.
To be honest with you, man, I was oblivious to a lot of it. Very ignorant and immature on my end, speaking from, you know, my perspective now on it. Because with me, I ingratiated with her family off top, you know, like we hit it off, you know, like they was like her aunts were making fun of me, calling me Bible boy.
Hey, hold on. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. I was still connected. I'm outside. I'm still connected to the Wi-Fi, so that's probably why I was going in and out.
Oh, okay.
So my bad. I just want to inform the listeners, man. My bad, though. Go ahead.
But yeah, man, like when I got it, like when we first met her family, man, you know, I had my telephone voice on, too.
Mm.
So I knew of the word, but I wasn't no Christian. I wasn't living that lifestyle, so I'm here trying to, mm-hmm. now I knew, like, you know, hearing from my wife, you know, hearing like, hey, well, you know, my family is very into church. I'm like, shoot, I am too. You know, I know how to play church. So I, you know, I'm reading Isaiah. I didn't know what to comprehend or nothing. But I,
gotcha.
When I got down to Evansville, that they started calling me Bible boy. And I was all, but you know, I kind of gelled in, you know, a little bit as well. I was accepted off top, but you know, I've matured and it's an awesome thing. But on my end, as far as what my wife was experiencing with my family, it was cool at first then, but there were some things that had, you know, happened between her, you know, my wife and my mom and certain people who would just, they wouldn't really speak, you know, they would speak. It was just, so when my wife started telling me these things, I'm like, man, nah, not my people, you know, just being in denial until I started having my antennas up and just watching for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she says hi, people don't say hi back, man, I would be quick to check them. I did that at my family reunion.
I was there.
Yeah. You know,
I was there.
Do you not?
I stuff my face with some macaroni and cheese. I'm like, oh.
Like, do you not hear this individual speaking? You know what I mean? But
yeah,
with our family, man, we, you know, we really don't have a lot of drama on my mom's side like that. You know, when just, you know, like for instance, like, you know, one of the things that, you know, was an issue with my mom and my wife at one point, like my wife was like, you know, and once again, it's all on me. It was all my fault because being immature, when I would come to Fort Wayne, I would be so quick to chase after all my friends and leave my wife back at the house with my mom.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So, and that hurt. I didn't know how that was making her feel, you know, because me, one thing, and my wife will admit to this too, if I know you, I'm stuck to you like glue. you know, if I consider you a friend, I'm gonna always make sure that I pop by and I show my face. And I'm like, yo, you can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, So it was some growing pains, and I had to mature in that area. Like, hey, you know, when I come home, man, it's about my wife, and y'all let people that really claim to be my friends, you come to me now. You come see all, you know, you come visit me, and I'll have my uncles put me on game with that too. So, you know, to answer the question in full, yeah, you know, how I handled it immature at first, but now, I mean, we are at a sweet place now. And there's still some thing, minor things to be hashed out, though, man. But we can all be in the same room, laugh, and all has been forgiven.
So I'm going to go back. You said you would, like, read a book of Isaiah, but you didn't really have any, like, understanding of it. Were you just – was that, like, a physical embodiment of the – what y'all call – the telephone voice?
Yeah, because I was preparing myself to be questioned. You know, I'm like, all right, well, let me act like I have some Bible knowledge if I get questioned. And
so is that leaning to your own understanding?
Basically, you know,
got you.
That was a facade. You know, now my love of the Lord was true at the time, but I was very ignorant. You know what I mean? Like, basically, like you just said, leaning towards my understanding. Because I was my own God, or I had an idea of God in my mind that would accept that Courtney at that time. Like, it was okay, you know, fornicate and do other things and be manipulative, you know, and I was still going through a lot at that point as well, too. So, it was a facade, man, but, at you know, the scratching that surface, but underneath all of that, you know, I really did have zeal for the Lord, man, but I was what we call punch drunk at the time.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Desiree, did you see that in Courtney at the time?
Honestly, right there, I did not know. I mean, he did used to read a lot. I noticed that. But I didn't pick up that he, especially when we went back home to my family visit, that he was doing it also for show and to, you know, so that he'd be able to be answering their questions if they had something.
For sure.
So, I mean, that right there, I just learned that.
Yeah, right. But I got a question real quick. Did they ever ask you the questions you thought of?
No, they didn't. I ain't get none of that. Like,
all right.
Like, that's right. Like,
you were prepared. You were just in the gym.
Yeah,
too.
I was just in the gym working on things I didn't even have to work on because they weren't like, all
right,
that,
I'm
going to
hit this crossover right here because a guy might come up on the block. You just out there.
Right.
I got you.
But when I pulled up, man, her aunt, I think Mari was the first one. What's your name? What you doing with my niece? I'm sitting in the front seat like, whoa.
Okay.
I ain't know what to expect because we turned down this dead end. I'm like, okay, where I'm at? I'm behind the McDonald's. What's gonna happen? You know,
Who is Mari?
That's my aunt.
Okay.
She's the muscle.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very close to my aunts. Like, my mom, her sister, all she has a sister, and like we're all like we just all hang out. It's like we're very tight knit. So yeah, Mari is the she's a woman, but she turn manly real quick and just
got you. Got you. She the enforcer, huh?
Yeah, she is. She's
got you. Did you see marriage in the household, Desiree?
I did. My parents were married when I was younger. They lasted, my mother told me, it was about 7 years. But I wanted to make sure that I never wanted to grow up to be like my mother. My dad was an alcoholic.
Okay.
And so was his his parents were. They drank and they smoked. And my dad was he used to beat my mom. He did that in front of us. So he would drink in front of us. He beat my mom in front of us, cuss her out. So at a young age, of course, I sat there and watched that because I didn't know any better. So eventually, when I got older, I was like, yeah, ain't no dude going to ever do this to me. Like, right. I didn't want to be in that same situation that my mother was in. She always, you know, she would always fight back, but it was still the fact that she, for so long, she had put up with that.
Right.
So I seen my dad doing that to my mom. He had, even when I got, I just found out even last year that I knew he had an affair, but I didn't know he had multiple affairs. Like, one of them ended up being my cousin.
Wow. And, oh, my goodness.
He had a, when I remember I was younger, there would always be somebody calling the house and then hanging up. This was back when caller ID was popping. So yeah, we didn't know who it was, but I found out.
We sound so old, by the way. Yes, we sound so old.
Yes, we do.
We sound so old. Oh, sorry.
This was back when caller ID first started popping. So I, you know, I didn't recognize the number, but later on my mother told me that was my dad's mistress. But the last straw was,
oh my goodness.
But that was the,
oh my goodness.
The last straw was when my dad got his mistress pregnant and she had the baby on my mother's birthday. So I was like,
I just cringe, man. Jeez, oh my goodness.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was,
I just didn't hear that part, babe.
I just cringe, bro.
So it was a lot that my mother put up with. And so I was like, you know, I never wanted to be in that same situation or to be like that. I knew I wanted to be married, but I didn't want, I made sure I looked for an individual who didn't have any similarities to my dad.
For sure. Wow. So I think part of that is cool because you never let that, you know, take away the fact that you want to be married.
Right.
You know, but on the other side, I'm sure there's something, out of all of that, I'm sure there might be something that you took in a marriage that you didn't know you were going to take in. Same thing with Courtney, too, I'm sure. But did you deal with any of that in your marriage, if you want to share?
Courtney is not abusive. He's very, actually very sweet. I found out that I was the mean one, the abuse. And I remember when me and Courtney were we were dating, and I remember I punched him before. I bit him before.
you good over there, Courtney? No, I'm playing. You cool, cuz?
Yeah, I'm fine now.
Right, but go. I didn't think anything of it because I didn't see it. I didn't think I was really hurting him, you know, because I'm like, I'm 5'3", and Courtney's 6'6", so I'm very small compared to him. But what I, you know, since I was little, I always, like, all I had in the back of my mind, like, I have to make sure that no man, that he does this to me, that he knows that I will never be the one that he's going to beat down. So I ended up becoming the person who would beat down somebody to make sure that they wouldn't do it to me. So it's like in the back of my mind, I was thinking like, okay, I got to get him before he tried to get me.
Got you. So that sounds like a protection mechanism in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Maybe you was protecting your feelings or your heart. You know, well, I'll say this, Courtney, sounds like you passed that test.
Yeah, bro. I caught the fade early, man. You
definitely caught the fade.
Early, man. And I was just coming over to chill, man. This we weren't married. All I know is, man, like I shared a few podcasts ago, you know, coming back from Fort Wayne, coming out of a marriage, you know, I was married before this. So that, now I can say all I want to.
I always forget about that. Right. Forgive me.
Now I can always say I was married, but I can always say, oh, that wasn't really no marriage. And it really wasn't. You know what I mean? Like, we was just, that was more of a conscious protector. Like, all right, God, you can't send me to hell because now I ain't fornicating no more. I'm doing everything like you say it is, but God's like, no, you putting this square peg in a round hole. I didn't tell you to do that. You did that so you could stand in church, you know what I mean? And had that facade. Once again, you had your telephone voice on. So here I am running from the fort coming down to Indianapolis. And, you know, I can say I'm hurt. I'm like, man, how dare you, you know, cheat on me or try to leave me? I'm Courtney Douglas, you know what I mean? Two cars, good job, money in the bank. Now, I can go down to Nap completely broke, man, starting over. So,
is that true, Desiree? When you was beating him up?
Yes, he
had no money.
He was very broke.
Very
broke. Oh. All I had was a car to show for. I'm going to send you that picture, man. I got a picture of
Babe, we don't have no pictures of the Sinatra Mobile, but I got a
picture. Oh, the Sinatra Mobile.
I got a picture of the windshield.
Forget about the Sinatra Mobile.
I got a picture of the windshield, man, because somebody shot it at the expo, man, back when they was doing all those shootings, man.
I remember that. Oh, my goodness. I forgot a lot.
Yeah, man. We taking you back.
Oh, my goodness.
But basically, I was just getting, you know, I'm working at Foot Action and I'm working at Nice Pack. I got two jobs, man. I'm like, man, okay, how is it that I had more money working the $10 job in Fort Wayne, two cars, you know? No, I had three cars. Remember that Beretta you see me in? We'll get on that.
On the next episode. Yeah, let's get on that in the next segment.
But anyway.
Goodness gracious, I forgot about that too.
I'm in a bigger city. And I'm like, man, I'm losing. And I'm in orientation. You know, we'll get into how we met. But, you know, to suffice it to say all of that, I was getting off of work to go kick it at the dorm room where she was staying at because she was going to IUPUI at the time. And okay. I'm just here, you know, we watching a movie. I'm trying all old habits and you know, tactics to get her to notice me or whatever. I'm over here giving my LL licking my lips, man. Like, yeah, she gonna like this. Oh, yeah. I had everything on. Remember, man?
He thought that was so sexy.
Man, it was not. I'm using old bait for different. I'm using old bait to try to catch a exotic fish, you know, and that wasn't working. But as far as the abusive part coming in, I guess this is what we circle it back to. I think I wouldn't peck you or give you a kiss, and you gave me an uppercut to the chin.
Oh, my goodness.
And I truly, to the day, I'm so sorry for that.
I'm talking about she gave me an uppercut out this world. I didn't even see that coming. And then I think I dodged you on another kiss, and you bit me on the nose. And we went every day. I'm like, man, I'm finna get back in my car and go back to Greenwood, man. Like, what about, like, I ain't gotta take this. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. I got tears coming in my eyes.
That was us, though. But we never seen it. We never really thought it would go this far. And I guess you can go into the other part, Jay, if you want, man. And we can get.
I will. We got about 7 minutes because when it's more than two people, you got to do it 30 minutes at a time. So we'll make it quick and then we'll come back in. We'll get everything though. I promise.
Got you.
And very, you know, in short words, how did you know this was it though, Gorgie? Cause I mean, you get beat up, you know, you're broke. She wasn't falling for the bait, you know, but somehow she took you. Somehow you stayed.
Right. You know, hey, I prayer works, man. Cause like I said, when I moved down to from Fort Wayne to Knapp, getting out of a marriage that I wasn't supposed to be in, man, I was depressed, man. I thought I was supposed to be, you know, I had in my mind what success was supposed to be for me at this point in time in my life. 23, I should be way past what I am now. I'm sleeping on my cousin's floor. I'm working two dead end jobs, and I'm going to orientation with barely enough gas to get in the car. And when I go to orientation and I see Desiree, I did that, you know, I got that eternal checklist in my head. Pretty face, yep. Teeth straight, yes. Light skin, double yes. Pretty
got it.
Feet,
got
yes.
it.
Yes. So that was basically, you know, the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove and resting on my shoulder on that one. You know, my beloved woman. Hey, yeah, Lord, this is her. So I knew it in my head she was the one, but she didn't.
Of course. Desiree, what attracted you to Courtney? Because it didn't seem like you did at first.
Right. I didn't. He was just somebody I was already, I don't know how they say it now, but I was already talking to another dude.
Ah,
so
okay.
So Courtney was just somebody else to hang out with.
Okay.
I didn't take him seriously at all. But the time when I did take him seriously, we were in the drive-thru. He was going to McDonald's because the man likes to eat. And he put this serious face on. And he was like, you know, you cute and all, but if you ain't trying to get right with the Lord, I can't mess with you.
Mm.
And I've heard a lot of stuff in my life, like all type of saying, dude.
That was a gamer line, cuz.
But I've never heard that. Like, if you, I mean, dudes, cause they gotta get up and leave. I'm fine with him up and leaving me for Jesus.
That's
so
facts.
Like, ain't nobody better than Jesus. So let me see what this facts. Is about.
Tell him, Courtney. Facts.
He told me he was gonna leave me for the Lord. So I was like, all right, that intrigued me, and that's when I was serious.
Facts.
And I knew I wasn't living right at the time, though, man. But like I said, man, that's just Bible, man. Like, you know, like Jesus says in John 6:44, no man could come unto me unless the Father first draw him. And I was being drawn, man. I knew I was doing the lie.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's what it sounds like, man. Throw that line out. You know what I mean? Like, but, that's a.
And I knew because I didn't want no airhead, man. And I'm not calling my wife, my girlfriend at the time.
Of course.
We were just dating. But I didn't want no airhead, man. I was like, man, you know what? Let's make sure that the foundation is solid. Which, you know, she was a believer and I was too, man. We were just both carnal minded, man. But I knew before even knowing that had to be the foundation, and we built on that, man, and we rocking.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it all started at the drive-thru.
At the drive-thru. $5 in my pocket. Now we went to McDonald's on orientation, but she didn't like McDonald's. Well, all I had was like $2.50 on the card, man. I was like, just to get back to the crib, man.
Look at God.
Hey, my phone wasn't on. I had no, all I had was a car to show for it, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he wasn't my type.
Negative, man.
What? This is awesome, though.
There is a God, man.
Absolutely. So we're going to cut this short. We're going to bring it right back. I want y'all to stay tuned. Finish Works Brand Podcast, Milk versus Solid Food, Courtney Douglas and Desiree Douglas. We'll be back.
For sure.
Yo. Welcome back, everyone. This is Josh. I am your moderator for this special segment of Milk versus Solid Food. I have two of my dearest friends, two people I am beyond the words to explain how much I feel about them. I love these two so much. So I want to thank y'all for just being on, talking about your marriage and the woos and, you know, the highs and lows. So thank you for that.
Oh yeah.
Welcome. Yeah.
No problem.
I have a question from the last segment. It sounded like you got humble, Courtney. You know, you had two cars and a job, you know what I mean? Probably was looking fly and fresh, and you moved to, not Evansville, Indianapolis, and had $2.50 on your card, and you know what I mean? Phone was cut off. Did you have a place to stay? Where were you staying at?
Yeah, I was living with my cousin now, man.
Okay, now I remember.
Yeah, so I was living with her on her living room floor, going through it, man. I was like, man, pride before the fall. And I was super arrogant and all prideful, man, before I had even came down there, man. I thought, like, all I got to do is get a couple of jobs, stack this cheese, get these clothes, keep the car running, and use the same bait to get airheads. That was my thought process, man, at the time. This is like a carnal minded a person who knows of God but wasn't serving God. I didn't have my armor on at all.
You know where you was baiting, right? And it reminds me of when Christ said it's sin to bait and make others sin. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
No better. So that's what I thought of. And I'm guilty of that too, but this is about y'all. This ain't about me. So, okay, let's talk about marriage. So, how soon after all of this, the punches and uppercuts and all that stuff, before y'all got married?
The first year was. They always say the first year is hard, which it was, because we had we ended up, you know, having our first son in 2011. We met in 2009, but we moved in together in like November, and we'd only known each other a couple of months. Courtney was gonna. Yeah, Courtney was gonna have to move back to Fort Wayne, and I was living on campus and working full time because one of my scholarships didn't come through, so I had to pay for my housing. So Courtney was like, "I'm gonna get an apartment because I don't want to go back to Fort Wayne because he met me." I was, but remember, I wasn't serious about him, so I was like,
for sure.
"I hope you don't ask me to go back to Fort Wayne with you because your feelings is gonna be hurt."
Goodness gracious!
But and so when I got tired of having to keep paying for my housing and working full time and going to school, I started to think like, okay, maybe we can get a place, but we're like, let's get a 2-bedroom because, you know, I still didn't really know him like that, but we ended up only being able to afford a 1-bedroom. So it was scary because I've never lived with a male who wasn't kin to me. So like, I remember the first couple of nights I'd sleep in the bed with my eyes open, sleeping all the way to the edge because I, you know, I was nervous.
Did you have anxiety from like your parents' marriage, you know, the abuse and stuff, and you move in with a stranger still at the time, and do you have any anxiety from that?
No, honestly, I was just, because I was still just having fun. I wasn't even thinking about the consequences.
You're so real. I liked this interview. You're so real. Yeah.
So it was, so like, after we had moved in, of course, we started acting like married couples, and then within a couple months we were pregnant, so that's when it started to get real. Like, okay. I had to tell my family. Some of my family knew that I moved in with Courtney, but then other family members did not know, so I had to explain to my family that I was no longer a virgin because I was pregnant.
Oh my goodness.
So that was hard, and especially being I just turned 22, so I'm 22 years old, and I felt like a teenager in high school having to explain this. And like, of course, nobody believed me. They all thought I was joking. But then when I started to cry, they're like, "Oh my goodness, you're serious." So my family was, of course, upset. Courtney's family accepted it a lot better than my family did. But after we got through all that, we had our son in January 2011, and then in the fall of 2011, November, we got married. And everything, like, to me, everything was good. I felt like in order to make this marriage work, that I needed to make sure I cooked, I cleaned, that he was happy. So I made sure that I did everything within my will to make sure Courtney was happy. I even used to say, as long as you're happy, that's all that matters. And that's what I believed, because I thought, you know, my parents' marriage, that my dad obviously wasn't happy. And that's why he was doing what he was doing. So I decided to do the opposite, and I was cooking and cleaning and just making sure everything was good for Courtney, that he never needed anything. And he was happy, but I was miserable.
Wow, Courtney. So that saying, happy, happy wife, happy life. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, and we've talked about this beforehand too. I seen her doing that, but we seen, like, she was in a household of, you know, with her mom and dad. I just had my grandparents. So my grandma used to do a lot of things that Desiree used to do because my mom was always at work. But they were working together as a tandem, my grandparents were. I wasn't, you know, all I did was, you know, go to work and come home, and she was always doing that though, but I never asked her to, but she, you know, because we never sat down and communicated about, okay, what's going to help us solidify this partnership, this marriage, you know what I mean? Because I don't need you to cook and clean and do all of this is what made me happy. But once again, she's pulling back from her past. And, when, you know, that's when the mood swings was setting in, because she felt like I was not appreciative of her efforts when we never sat down and talked about the efforts to begin with, you know, or what I expected or what we were to expect in the marriage, man. So it was just rocky for those first few years. And then me, I have a laid back, calm, cool, nonchalant attitude anyway. So if you don't bring it up, I'm gonna just keep going with it. You know what I mean? Like, until that kettle starts to whistle, It's over with after that, you know what I mean? And here come the uppercuts and the bites and all of that. And I'm in the corner ready to call the cops. I'm like, hey, come get the girl because she trying to fight me.
Wow.
So now I'm not saying that. I'm just joking though. But
yeah.
You know, it was always imploding. I'm like, man, we supposed to be on the same page, and you attacking me. And you know, when I start figuring out, because I mean, I'm slow, man, in certain aspects, and I'm glad that I have her, man. Like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. Like I said, I didn't do any of this in the previous marriage. That was more of a roommate, you know. And no offense to her, you know, that was my fault. But into this one, I wasn't bringing anything to the table really, as far as, okay, there's no manual for this. I've seen this played out though, but I'm not under the roof, you know, 24/7, 365 with my grandparents, because my mom wasn't really married. She was more of a provider, not a nurturer. So all I knew was to provide, but no lack of communication, none of that. So it was rough.
Wow. Did any of that simulate from you being a virgin too, Desiree? Like, because now it's gone? You know what I mean? At the time?
Well, because when we first you know, started doing it, it was, of course, I was scared of my mind. I don't know where I got this from, but ever since I was younger, I thought that if I did do it, that I was going to die right afterwards. So I don't know how or where I got that.
So that's why I need to tell my doctor. No, thanks. I'm playing.
I don't know where that came from, but that's what I seriously had believed. And then, like, after it happened, I didn't. And then I ended up getting comfortable, but but for the whole marriage thing, before, when I first moved to Indianapolis, like in 2006, I had stayed with one of my aunts and her husband, and she was doing all the cooking and cleaning and making sure he was happy. So I forgot I had gotten that from her.
Got you.
And she was miserable and he was good. He was always out. He was the one making all the money and everything, and she would make sure the house was clean and everything, but then he also was stepping out. So it was like he had everything good at home, but he wanted more. And for so sure. I just didn't know what I was supposed to do, but I thought as long as I'm doing all this for Courtney, I basically put him on the pedestal without him, you know, wanting to be there.
For sure.
So when he started to do stuff that I didn't like, it really devastated me, and it was taking me back. Like knocking me down. Like if something, I remember there's one point, I mean, our stuff was so terrible. At one point, like when something went wrong, mm-hmm. I would get blamed for it and then I would just accept it.
Oh man.
And I would just be like, yeah, you're right. Cause I felt so low because I didn't, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I was still like, even though I was, you know, my body and everything's mature, I was still kind of like immature in my mind, because like I said, we had just went into this whole relationship just like playing games.
Yeah.
And then was forced into reality. Like, all right, this is what it is. You can't be playing no more. So we both were just modeling stuff that we had seen somebody else do or what we were used to.
Man, that's what most of us do anyway, especially, you know, as, you know, African-Americans, man, that, you know, really didn't see a good, wholesome model of, you know, a relationship, a marriage and the household. So, wow. And I don't know if y'all know this, but for my wife and I learned a lot from just talking to Courtney about some of the stuff that I know about. So that was like, for me, how you was looking at your aunt, you know, looking there, I was actually looking at y'all. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know all this because, you know, I'm a little biased because I talk to Courtney all the time, but when he would tell me truthful things that I believed of, and I would take that like, all right, I can't do that, or nah, this ain't it, you know. So yeah, I know y'all did help my wife and all that too with your mistakes. Wow, man, that just touched me, dude. okay, so yeah, what's next though after that? How do you get through that? How do you fix some of that stuff? Because it sounds like a marriage headed for divorce, just being honest.
Yeah, it was, man. It was a lot of stuff, man. That was, we was ready to call it quits a few times, though. But again, as we stated at the beginning of the podcast, the foundation has always been God. So it's kind of like, you know, and my wife can contribute to this as well, too. It's a three-way marriage. It's God, man, then and wife. You know what I mean? Like, it's a unity type of deal. But it's basically me and Desiree was playing ring around the Rosie and God was on the outside.
Gotcha.
So it's like, okay, so when y'all go invite me in so I can help y'all and point out these mistakes y'all making because y'all doing it y'all way and not my way. That's why y'all miserable and ready to break it off. So, you know, I think seeking wise counsel, getting, going to therapy and really just having to hash everything out, I think that's when it started to turn for us.
How do you know? What is wise counsel? How do you know, what is wise counsel? For marriage,
wise counsel is just especially just communicating with our church. I know that I have people that I can go to, you, of course, Josh, and then I can go to, my uncles that Maryland, my Uncle Philip was always a big part because, I've never cussed Desiree out. I never put my hands on her. None of that. You know what I mean?
I don't think you could put your hands on her, though.
I couldn't, man. You know what I'm saying? But not. But I always wanted to love her like Christ loved the church. And the more that I read the Bible, I'm like, okay, you're wrong because you're not fulfilling the creation role as being a man. You know what I mean? You're supposed to lead the household, and she can't follow you if you're not leading. So, I will say we started getting back, into our church and seeking counseling, we're not able to hash this thing out and we're letting other people hear our perspectives of what we need to. And my main thought was, too, because sometimes when we used to have our disagreements, she would be like, no, we don't need to go to church. We need to go see a stranger. Because they know you at church because you talk, you talk a lot. They know you. Courtney's this friendly guy. And I'm always on the background quiet. But I always felt appalled by that because, number one, if I claim that I love you like I say that I love you, why would I let somebody that claims to be a brother in Christ pick my side to argue against you when I'm here to get help for both of us? So I wouldn't allow that to happen, but I didn't know how to really convey that to her. You know what I mean? Like, I would never let nobody step in and make it seem like, oh, well, Courtney's right, you need to be submissive. Like, no, like, how do we got all the pieces of the puzzle, but help us put this thing together. And that's all that I had always wanted to seek after.
I get why she said that, though. I totally do. Well, I said she ain't here. I'm sorry, Desiree. Right. I'm sorry, Desiree. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
Because you're likable. You're easily likable. So I get that. I get it from you. I'm the moderator, so I get it right. From you, too. But I totally understand where you was coming from on that, though, Desiree. Not saying you're not likable, but
right, I understand what you're saying.
Courtney will shake everyone's hand and crack a joke or a smile or say something witty. So right. I get that. I totally get that. You know what I mean?
Because he's more of like he's outgoing. He's a lot more outgoing, and it's fine. And I'm the quiet, reserved one. Like, yeah, people. I speak sometimes, but I don't speak a whole lot unless I'm really comfortable or I know you. Mm-hmm. So I always felt like I didn't want to go to anybody who knew us because they already know Courtney. Courtney's just, he's just that dude. And me, I'm always the quiet, reserved one. And I do hold a lot of stuff in. I keep a lot of stuff to myself. And then when I can't take it anymore, I would just basically explode. So it's like I would always put so much on my plate.
Yeah.
And thinking I can eat it, and then when it started to overflow, that's when we had issues. I had to bring up stuff from like years ago, and he'd be like, "What?" he was confused. He was like, "Well, wait, why? Where's this coming from?" And it's because I've held it on my plate for so long and didn't say anything, and so I didn't want to go to somebody who knew him because I always felt like in the back of my mind I felt like they would automatically be on Courtney's side and then look at me like I was the problem. So that's why I used to always say that. But
I get it. I'm saying I get it. I get it. Okay, so y'all had twins. How long after your first Thailand.
Exactly, like they are exactly 3 years and a month apart.
Okay. What changed from y'all having Kylan to Cree and Caleb?
What changed for me is when I had gotten, like when I had gotten pregnant with Kylan in 2011, I ended up having to go back home to Evansville. Courtney had just gotten a job at AT&T, and he couldn't take care of me. I had gotten so sick, and I needed somebody to take care of me. Like literally, I couldn't walk. I was crawling around.
Goodness.
I couldn't eat or drink. Everything that went down came right back up. So I was in and out of the hospital and out of the doctor. So I had to go back home. So I had my family around me helping me. And Courtney couldn't be there. And so that hurt too. Cause, you know, here I am, I'm pregnant and scared. And I don't, you know, I'm with Courtney. But then again, I'm not physically with Courtney because he's 3 hours away. Mm-hmm. He would have to take time off to come visit me. Or had to, you know, leave sometime right after me having Kylan because he had to get back to work 3 hours away. So when we got pregnant with the twins, I was very excited because I was like, okay, he's here. He can witness a lot more. He can help me. I don't have to call my mom, you know, or my aunt or my sister to come help me because I have my husband. I have him here with me.
Goodness. Goodness. I got a little quick story to insert in there. So while you was in Evansville, and this is before I was married, and I don't even know if I was talking to my wife or no, it was like maybe a few months after that, but I kept backsliding. I kept having sex, man. I just kept having sex with this out. I was out there, and I never forget, man, it was January. So it was a little bit before 2011. Cause I remember these Cement Threes came out. And so it was a little bit before Cree was born. I mean, not Cree, Kylan, I'm sorry. And I remember just coming down randomly, and I just told Courtney, like, bruh, I need help. I need something, man. I didn't have no draws, Courtney. I was just stanking at y'all. I didn't have nothing. For real. I just had a toothbrush. That's facts. And, man, we just spent the whole weekend just, we worship, we just communion. You know, he would get off work and then we just right back at it, man, just talking. I emptied everything out, and, you know, I got to blame that moment for, you know, me getting back on path to get married, you know. So, and I can tell while he was telling me all this stuff, he was depressed. The dude was eating an Applebee's by himself. I know, like, you know what I mean? You probably thought you just going to watch the game, but if I'm watching you, I'm like, this man looks sad, bruh. And I could see some of that though, but you still gave me advice, man, that I'm grateful for. And I'm kind of grateful for y'all going through that because now we can talk about now. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? Dude, with all those complications, you know, pregnancy, Courtney, how do you deal with that? Because I about lost it in the hospital, bro. So for real, I was in the corner. Shot.
Well, I was still, you know, giving some background story with my wife being pregnant with the twins. We still were at a rocky point in our relationship anyway, as far as being married, you know what I mean? Because we weren't really getting along. And there were some things that I probably said that I don't really remember to Desiree that, you know, caused some decisions to be made. But I was working at Berry Plastics, which was like, I'm working 12-hour, sometimes 15-hour shifts. So I would always be asleep during the second pregnancy to where I couldn't even really be there to go with her to her appointments. I was just lazy and out of it, man, because I'm like, dang, man, I don't got no energy, man. I'm going to work like, what, every day almost. And it was just tough, man. So we were still beefing in. You know, and we had our spots where we would laugh and giggle, though. But in the back of my mind's like, man, we weren't really in love. We were just coexisting. We were just roommates raising kids, basically, at one point. Mm-hmm. And it was tough, man, because I didn't have any answers. You know what I mean? I'm like, all right, Lord. It's kind of like a person who claims that they know God and they compare themselves with other people. Like, kind of like how we all do. You know, like, all right, well, Lord, I ain't murdering nobody. Yeah, I may be fornicating and telling lies, though, but I ain't committing none of the big sins. And that's how I was in my relationship. I'm like, well, I ain't putting my hands on her. I'm not cussing her out. You know what I mean? Like, what's up, man? I'm treating her right. But I was terrible, you know, as a husband. You know what I mean? Like, my duty is more than just going to work. My job is to come home and make sure that she's okay and the kids are okay. And make sure that she's taken care of. It ain't about her serving me. It's about us serving each other and working together as a team. And that wasn't being pushed to the forefront, man. But I was real immature and ignorant at that time. You know what I mean? So through the pregnancy, man, and seeing the twins come out, man, and that brought us together even more. Like, hey, you know, we want to be here for the kids, even though we don't want to be here for each other. We know that if we split up, it's a wrap for them. They're going to grow completely different. And she's already been through that as far as in her life of seeing that, you know, whenever the man, which is the provider and protector, once he leaves the crib, the woman has to pick up nurturing, providing protection as well, too. And she can't carry all three at once. So she's pretty much going to, you know, provide and protect the best that she can. And the nurturing has to go. So we didn't really want that with our kids. So we were together for the wrong reasons until that switch happened to where we can't live without each other now. So,
I mean, before we go to this next segment, I want to talk about the twins real quick.
Okay.
He prayed for twins and she didn't know. So I'm leaving there. Y'all go ahead and elaborate on that. Desiree?
when we first got pregnant with Kylan, I wanted him to be a twin so we can just be done and over with, because we both wanted twins. When we first were, you know, shacking up, we both expressed how we wanted twins. I wanted twins because I used to watch Sister growing up, you know, T and Tamir.
I wanted twins
like them. And so Courtney was like, yeah, my mom's a twin, you know, we can have twins. We even heard them in Africa, when they eat these special yams, they always had twins. So we was eating yams all the time, trying to get us some twins. And so when it didn't happen the first time, I was like, you know what, that's fine. It must have been God's will. So I was, and when Kylan came out, he was acting the way he was. I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for not giving me twins.
And then
when we found out the second time around that we were having twins, I admit, I was devastated. And Courtney was like, wow. I prayed. And I was like, how dare you? How you go behind my back praying for these twins? And I'm like, no.
Oh, my goodness. Courtney, what you got to add to that, man? Why you praying behind her back about twins? Like, you got to carry them labor pains,
man. Man, I was just like, look, because I wanted Tigger. I didn't want him to be alone. But I was like, man. I always wanted at least three or four, you know what I mean? So I was just like, hey, Lord, put two up in there for me. And
put two in there for me.
And it ended up jumping off, man. So I was excited, but I had to admit that to her.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, shout out to Kylan, Cree, and Caleb. We're going to come back with a very quick segment. This is the Finish Work Brand Podcast, Milk versus Solid Food. We'll be back. Hey, we back. Last segment, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. I got two of my dearest friends, the Douglases, Courtney and Desiree, and third time's a charm, so we'll knock this out. This is our segment that we call Solid Food, where this is where we take anything that we've learned from our mishaps and, you know, sin, we explain it to the listeners, and, you know, we help them out and just give them advice.
Most definitely.
So I have a question, Desiree. At the beginning, when you and Courtney moved in together, you said you was unsure because, you know, this was a game. I was still, you just having fun. How do you know what fun is, and how do you know what if this thing is it?
Well, I knew it was fun because I didn't have a care in the world. I felt like, you know, I'm grown now. I can do whatever I want to. I got my car. I got, you know, making my own money. My mother was all the way in Evansville. You know, even though I had an aunt up here and some cousins, they wasn't keeping tabs on me. They always knew that they didn't have to worry about me because I was considered the good girl. Mm-hmm. So the good girl went out and just, she's tired and just wanted to go see what else she can get into. And that's basically what I did.
Got you.
And met Courtney. But I, even when I was growing up, I knew in the back of my mind that I was going to be with somebody who was heavily involved in church and knew God, because I was raised in a, you know, my grandparents, my papa was a deacon, my grandmother, the evangelist, you know, I got uncles that are pastors and everything. So I, it was in my background. So I felt like, okay, I'm going to be with somebody mm-hmm. who's got something like that going on in their life too.
Wow. Do you think that voice you heard, you know, that notified you about being married to somebody that was in the church, do you believe that was God? Holy Spirit?
At first, I just thought it was me, because I think I was, because I was also trying to please, you know, my family.
Got you.
I wanted to make sure who I brought home was going to be accepted. That I didn't bring, like I said, I didn't want nobody like my daddy or anything. You know, I have, my family's full of a lot of females.
Yeah.
You know, they had, either they was with somebody and they got divorced, or the man just up and left one day. So it's independent women who had to raise children on their own. So mm-hmm. I wanted to make sure that the person I brought home was different from what I had known. And Courtney was totally different from what I had known. And like you said, he said, you know, he was about Christ. Eventually, yeah, that came to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But eventually, that's how I knew, yeah, this is it. Because I started to pray. Because, like, I didn't pray for Courtney. He says he prayed for me, but I did not pray for Courtney. If God would have told me back then, you know, put him in my pathway, this is him, I would be like, nah. I would have because I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But as the years continued to go on, I seen that in Courtney. And the reason why I love him so dearly now and could never see myself without him is because I've got to show me the way that Courtney loves me is the way God loves me. Like,
amen.
I could, there's days when I'm cool and other days I'm just popping off at the mouth, and Courtney could be like, all right, and he, you know, he just rolled off his shoulders, and he still, and then the next second I'm trying to hug up on him or kiss him, and he still all on me and loves me the same. He doesn't yell at me, he doesn't, you know, curse me out, he does not put his hands on me, doesn't even flinch.
Amen.
He just smiles and be like, I forgive you, love. And it's like, yo, that Man. Is totally, that's
I'm not, taking notes.
That's totally God, because it can't be. They ain't no regular human.
Amen. So, Courtney, where did the steadfast humility, because that's what I sounds like, wow, you definitely became humble. You're steadfast and self-control, man.
Well, it comes from, I would say those are attributes of God, you know. Like I said, at first, I mean, a lot of stuff rolls off my shoulders. It takes a lot for me to get mad. I would just say, man, fruit of the spirit, a lot of Christ characteristics. So, you know, when it comes to Desiree as a woman, I look at her as the weaker vessel, not from a physical standpoint though, but I just know, you know, what the Bible says is, you know, hey, you know, love her as I loved you, or love the woman as, you know, as I love the church, you know what I mean? So that's non-negotiable, you know. It's more of a leadership role for me. Like, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what she does, man, you know, I can't let that really affect, you know what I mean? It's just like, hey, I get it. You know, I can look past her flaws because, you know, Bible says that love holds no record of wrong. So, you know, no matter what she does, that forgiveness is always there for her because this is my wife, you know what I mean? And I love her dearly. So, you know, I get it as far as, you know, and I know her, you know, so I know we're probably better than she knows herself. So I already know, like, when she's irritated or she's annoyed or she's getting ready to go off or this and that, man, I can pretty much just weave through all the, you know, all the other stuff, man, and really get to the heart of the situation, man, and just embrace her and just, you know, speak a word to her.
For a man to be with a woman, he must dwell in knowledge of her.
Right.
And that is convicting me. Man. Wow. Goodness. What would you, to some of the young listeners, how do you get that, though? How do you get steadfastness and self-control?
That's a good question, Josh, because I've never had it like this. You know, it takes years to build, though. But once again, man, as we always say, the Bible is so real, man. I can't say it enough. You know, Paul says, if any man be found in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away and all things become new. So,
amen.
I'm living proof of that, man, because the old Courtney, man, I probably would have been dipped out on her, or I would have been moved on. And no, it's not like that. You know what I mean? I think I've been equipped by God, man. So like I said, the foundation, man, has always been Christ. Now, how a person gets that fatness and zeal, I can't put a finger on that, Jay.
Let me...
if you can help, Leia.
Yeah, please. Let me... From how this has helped me a lot is who you have around you, who you go to. Like, with us both not being from Indianapolis, you know, we have family, you know, elsewhere, hours away from us.
Mm-hmm.
I have, you know, I met a friend who was married, and she's a lot, you know, she's like maybe a couple of years older. They're a couple of years older than us. And so every time I had an issue with, you know, Courtney, I would go to her, and she would just sit and listen. And she would give me advice, or she would tell me, you know, the issues. So she, like, oh, I went through this with my thing. It's good to find another married couple and to also find somebody who does know Christ. Because gotcha. You can go to them and speak to them. Because that has helped me out a lot. Because I went to, you know, some of the ladies at church I was able to speak to, or mm-hmm. my friend. Because one thing that we learned when we were before we got married, that you don't take your problems to your family, because by doing that, your family is going to get mad at your spouse because they're going to be on your side. And so when you forgive your spouse and y'all cool,
that's real.
Still upset at your spouse.
That's real.
I never took my issues to my family. So, you know, that was, who do I tell? I had to literally go out, guys, place people, friends outside, and even at church in front of me to be able to speak to and to help me out. Because if I didn't go to them, I could have ended up going to some dude who's hollering at me, telling him my problem. Of course, yeah. You know, the enemy's in his mind, and then we could end up in a very bad situation.
For sure.
So you have to make sure you go to a godly individual. And ladies, it's best if you go to a woman, because sometimes the enemy will put somebody in you think is from God.
Absolutely. So would it be the same way for a guy? He should go to another male, not a woman?
Yeah, he should, unless you, of course, like a therapist somewhere certified.
For sure.
But yeah, I feel it's best for him to go to a godly male to speak to.
For sure. And I take that back. I did go to, I mean, you, of course, Josh, and then my Uncle Phil, my Uncle Tim. But my grandpa is a big character, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the number one go-to for me, because my grandpa carries a lot of the same characteristics and attributes as well, too. Like, he's never touched my grandmother. Rest in peace to my grandma.
Rest in peace.
He's never done none of that. You know what I mean? Like, my grandpa's like real humble, modest, soft, and quiet.
That's the best hugs ever.
The best hugs ever.
He just milk. Oh my goodness.
Milk. Yeah. So a lot of his traits I have, man. So I would accredit that, you know, to God's sovereignty, number one, though. But he's a key figure in my life, man, that I can glean from, because once again, you know, he practically raised me.
Amen.
So I would always model what he would do in my relationship as well, you know, and also that conviction of Christ as well. You know, Holy Spirit would convict me if I ever thought about doing anything outside of his word, you know, to, you know, rectify or bring clarity to my relationship. It was always viewed through that lens.
Yeah.
So that's what some of the things that keep me.
Desiree.
Yes.
How is it supporting Courtney in all his endeavors? Because he has a lot going on, being a mailman, and the brand could be somewhat of a, you know, some I want to say baggage, but a load to carry too. Also being a husband and a father. and, you know, a bunch of other stuff I'm sure he wears. How do you support that as a wife?
It's hard, but Courtney's very passionate about what he's doing.
Yes.
It was something that I thought was literally completely just dumb. I'm like, all right, Courtney, I would let him know. I can see how passionate he is and his vision, you know, for like, okay, this is to help reach those out there who are lost, and even the ones who are not lost, and just continue to spread the gospel.
Amen.
You know, so if it was something that wasn't having to do with, you know, to uplift God, then of course I would be like, you know, had felt some other type of way about it. But even though he is wearing a lot of hats and doing a lot, I at the end of the day, I have to remember who he's doing it for.
Amen. Amen. Courtney, how do you balance that but still remain the best husband you can be and place your wife first before all of that?
Good question. Really prioritizing, man, what's number one, you know?
Yeah.
And that takes time to really learn, like, what's mainly important, you know what I mean? Because Paul puts a lot of gems in 1 Corinthians, I want to say chapter 7, when he goes into, you know, singleness and being married as well, too, where if you're single, you're going to be focused on God. If you're married, you're going to be focused on pleasing your spouse.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that's number one. Like, and it always it hasn't always been like that, where I just come home and do me and then see what Desiree was on. You know, we'll be at the opposite corners of the house. Now I'm looking for, you know, when I come in the house, you know, my kids set the alarm off. They'll run from me first and I'll chase and play with them. But then I'm like, okay, where's the woman at? Mm. You know what I mean? Let me make sure that she's okay. And, you know, whatever she wants to do right there. It's, you know, small things, you know, writing her a letter, bringing her cookies, sneaking Reese's Pieces in her coat.
Yeah.
You know.
Wait, hold on. Explain that. Hold on. What's the Reese's Pieces in her coat? Explain that.
Well, she has a sweet tooth, man. Like I said, because she, you know, she had, you know, she's an incredible worker, man. So she was working third shifts, man, helping out with the brand and things around the house. Because we're paying off debt, man, so we can be debt free next year.
So are we.
So she was working. She's assistant care, you know, giver at night. So I wrote a letter and I put two Reese's Pieces in her, you know, in her coat. Yeah. Cause she was going to a new house and I knew that she might have some trepidation or some anxiety. So the first thing that she go for is sweets. And I know she didn't pack any on her, but I put some in her coat, man, just in case.
Nice.
With a letter, you know, with the letter of encouragement.
Yeah.
But she didn't get the letter. I don't know after my
letter. But... Wait, let me explain. So I didn't check into my coat pocket that night, but when I walked in the door at home, uh-huh, and put my hand in my pocket, I got excited when I seen that candy.
Yeah.
I had to check the expiration date because I thought it was something that I stole from the kids last Halloween.
Right.
That's what I thought it was.
Right.
I didn't see that, so I was like, shoot, I'm going to eat this anyway. And then Courtney was like, oh, I put that in. You get my letter? I said, oh, snap. I threw that away. I thought that was crap.
Oh, that's funny.
Because I got too excited over the sweets. I was like, I don't know what this is, but I just tossed that trying to get to the candy.
Oh.
I know. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Well, before we call this quits, I just want to say, this conversation, I'm sure it helps someone that listens, and it definitely helped me too. Like, I'm going to go in the house and just hug and kiss my wife. And I never told this to you, Desiree, but I just want to say thank you for all your sacrifices and support of this brand. You know, thank you for punching my friend into us. You know what I mean? And I never told you that, though. And my wife and I, we learned a lot from y'all. My wife loves you. She adores you. And I'm grateful for the friendship that we have.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys. I'm glad that Courtney has you as his friend. I know there's times when I even, you know, I got in jail because I'm like, dang, he don't talk to Josh. I don't talk to him. But,
hey,
you know,
like Dave Bradley said, don't make my name a cuss word.
Right.
No, I'm playing.
But it's at the same time, it was like, I wouldn't want it to be anybody else but you on the other line.
Amen.
Because I trust you.
Thank you.
And I know you and Courtney have this very tight, deep connection, and it's a godly one.
That's unexplainable. We should get a, yeah. We should do another podcast and we can go deeper on some other stuff too. But yeah. You know, I know y'all gotta go to bed. I gotta go to bed. So yeah. This is Courtney. I did the intros, man. You go ahead, close this out, bro.
Oh yeah, man. You know, I'm gonna say special shout out to my lovely wife Desiree. Thank you, special guest of the night.
Yep. Thank you for
being a part of this as well too. For the listeners, we got some more information we want to speak of. I mean, I know y'all seen the release of the website. Yeah. We'll get into that on another podcast. Thank you for your support there. Yeah. We are rocking and rolling now, man. We got merch, more merch to come, more colorways to come. Stay tuned, as we always say. You know, we're praying for you guys as well, too. If you have questions, use that email in the bio on the Instagram page as well, too. Man, we read and watch everything as well, too. Yeah. Other than that, enjoy your week, and you rocking with the Finish Works Brand Podcast.
Yeah.
Milk versus solid food. Until next time.
Peace.
Bye.